Okay, so this is bio 231, and it's Wednesday, August 25th. Here's a sign-in sheet. This is the latest roll that I got maybe last night, so if you're not on the sheet, I don't think you're registered in the class. But if you are on the sheet, you are registered for the class, so please sign in next to your name. And if you're not on here, then you got to check WebStar or check with me. Well, it looks like that projector just is not going to work, so as to not make anybody sick, I'm just going to turn it off. And we'll project with this one right here. Okay. Right, so where are we now? Now, I got two monitors. There's a cursor. Ah, there it is. Okay. Where is it going? All right, I got it. Okay, so we're kind of in the middle. Actually, we just started chapter 4, which is tissues, which is going to be part of the practicum starting next week, so I'm glad we're getting to it. And last time, I believe we said that we have four basic kinds of tissues that make up the human body, and we got to make sure you have those on the tip of your tongue. All right, number one. Right, is epithelium. Epithelium. And the function of epithelium is that it covers a surface. All right, that's one important thing. Or it can line a cavity. You could think of a blood vessel as a cavity. It has an inside lining that has an epithelium, but since it's an inside lining, we call that an endothelium, but it's just a fancy other way of saying epithelium. Covering a surface. Guess what's covering your body? Your skin, and the outermost layer is an epithelium. We call that the epidermis, right? So epithelium covers a surface, lines a cavity, but it can also make glands. Various kinds of glands. Maybe not every single gland in your body is made out of epithelium, but most are. Good examples would be thyroid gland, sweat gland, salivary glands are made with epithelium. Okay, another kind of tissue, which we're going to look at today, is connective tissue. Connective tissue connects different parts of your body together. For instance, there's something called a tendon, and it connects a muscle to a bone. So when the muscle contracts, it pulls on the bone, and then your bones move, and then you can go places, do things. There's another kind of connective tissue that can connect your big toe with your nose, can connect your lungs with your stomach. Right? It can connect your elbow with your knee, which is really strange. What kind of connective tissue can connect all of these different parts of your body together? It's the kind of connective tissue that can actually flow from one part of your body to another. And what's that tissue that flows? That's blood. So blood is a connective tissue as well. All right. The third kind of connective tissue is specialized for contraction or shortening, and that is muscle, right? So muscle is a kind of tissue all by itself. And then there's the last tissue, number four, which can send information long distances in your body, lightning fast. And that's nervous tissue. All right, so those are the four kinds of tissue. So let's take a look at some of these. What do they look like underneath the microscope? Okay, so we're done talking about cells. We're now looking at something a little bit bigger, and that is tissues. So tissue, remember, think of a definition of tissue in that hierarchical organization, that hierarchical scheme of things. Started with the really small, like molecules, put a bunch of molecules together, you get organelles. Put a bunch of organelles together, you get a... What do you get if you put a bunch of organelles together, like nucleus and Golgi and plasma membrane? You get a cell, right? And if you put a bunch of cells together, that tissue, and that's where we're at. We're at tissues, right? But a tissue has a little bit more of a definition to it. A tissue certainly is made up of cells, but all of the cells have to look the same. They have to have the same structure. And if they have the same structure, guess what? Guess what their function is? It's the same, right? So a tissue has the same structure, same function. One last thing about a tissue, some tissues might have a space between the cells. So even the space between the cells is going to have the same structure and function if it's just one tissue, right? So the cells are the same and the tissue is the same. All right, so let's start with epithelium. We classify epithelium in two different ways, by the shape of the cells that make up an epithelium. And here are the three basic shapes. There's some minor modifications to this one right here. But we see that some are flat. Some, and we mean flat because their width is about equal to their depth, but their height is very short. So we call that a flat cell. But what's a better name scientifically for a flat cell? Squamous. When we say squamous, we really mean flat. Certain bones, there's a bone in your head and it has a flat portion to it. It's a temporal bone. Guess what we name that part of the temporal bone? It's the flat part. It's the squamous part of the temporal bone, right? So learning language is a big part of this class. All right, so this is not a tall cell. It's a flat cell. And here's one where the width and the depth is about equal to the height. So it's not squamous. It's more cuboidal. And then here's another type where the width and the depth is short compared to the height of the cell. That looks like a column, like that would be a nice columnar cell right there. All right, so that's epithelium by the shape of the cells. There's another way that we classify an epithelium, and that is by the number of layers. Yeah, so shape and layers are the two ways we classify epithelium. And here we have examples of the two possible kinds of layers. Now, before you can appreciate layers, we have to know the boundaries in which an epithelium can exist in. An epithelium, we said what? Covers a surface, right, or lines a cavity. That means that above the epithelium, there's nothing. There's just some kind of space. Maybe it's the air in the room, if you're talking about your skin, or maybe it's blood, right, in a blood vessel. Okay, and that surface that is right above the epithelium, right, we call that the apical surface. The one that's deep, and what do I mean when I say deep? More toward the interior of your body or interior of a gland, we call that the basal surface. So we got a basal surface that is deep, and then we got an apical surface that is very superficial. These don't have to be the same. These cells don't have to be the same, and the cell membranes can be a lot different at the apical surface compared to the basal surface right here. The only thing is that we'll find basically nothing or some kind of fluid in the tube right here, or it could be the atmosphere. But underneath this basal surface, there's going to be a basement membrane made out of connective tissue that attaches the epithelium to underlying structures. And it's really easy to see that basement membrane. So when you look for layers, you want to find the basement membrane and the apical surface and then just count the number of layers. So here's the basement membrane. How many layers of cells do you see from the basement up to that apical surface? Just one, and when it's one, we call it simple. That's a simple epithelium. It's specialized for allowing things to move across it, mostly diffusion, like capillaries are a simple squamous epithelium, or the lung is made out of simple squamous epithelium because you need to absorb a lot of oxygen and release a lot of CO2. It cannot be a very thick or complex kind of membrane or epithelium because diffusion won't occur across it. And this one over here, here's the basal surface or the basement membrane. Here's the apical surface. How many cell layers do you see? I see many. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different cells as you go from the basal region to the apical surface. And in that particular case, can't call it simple because simple just means one. We call it stratified. So these are stratifications in this particular epithelium. All right, now we do have to name an epithelium, not only by the layers, but also by what, again? The shape of the cell, so layers and shape. So we got simple by layer, stratified by layer. Now what about the shape of this particular epithelium? These down here kind of look cuboidal, all right? But that's not how we name an epithelium. We name it by the shape of the cells that are up by the apical surface. So what are these guys up here? Squamous. So this is a stratified squamous type of epithelium. All right, so that's kind of epithelia in a nutshell. And now we just have to practice. We got to practice naming some of these things. So maybe to go over basement membrane once again, here is an epithelium, and we know this is an epithelium because there's nothing up here. This is maybe the inside of the digestive tract, or maybe the inside of a blood vessel, for instance. And so here's the apical surface, here's the basal surface, here is the basement membrane right here, so basal surface. How many cell layers is this? One. So that's a simple epithelium. And if you were to classify these cells by shape, what would you say? Columnar. So to characterize the whole epithelium, it's a simple columnar epithelium. Okay? Okay. And notice that this basal membrane looks a lot different than this apical membrane right here. These cells do different things in the membrane in different parts of the cell. All right. And this is just connective tissue down underneath it. And what do we see in this connective tissue? Here is a blood vessel, and in particular a capillary. And do you see a capillary in this epithelium right here? No. That's a very strange characteristic of all epithelium. They do not contain blood vessels, okay? No blood vessels. And probably you might be aware of that. Did you ever get a paper cut? And before you knew it, you felt this stinging, and you look and you go, oh, gee whiz, that's going to bleed like crazy. And you look and there's not even any blood there. It hurt like hell and it didn't even bleed, okay? Which maybe is not a bad thing. And that's because your skin, the epidermis, doesn't have any blood vessels in it. You didn't cut deep enough to get to a blood vessel, but enough to maybe cut some of these nerves right here. All right, so that's a strange but important characteristic of epithelium, no blood vessels. Okay, but these down over here, if this were a stratified epithelium, at least these cells down here in the basal level are close to the capillary. So these down in the basal region are alive, but as you move up to subsequent higher and higher or more superficial layers, those cells have a tendency to die because they're moving far away from what? Nutrients and oxygen, things that can keep them alive. So when you look at the surface of your skin, which is a stratified squamous epithelium, all the skin cells that we're looking at are very superficial, far away from blood supply. All these cells are dead long time ago. Okay? But they're still doing a job for you. All right, so this just kind of reiterates the basal surface and the apical surface and basement membrane. All right, so let's take a look at some actual slides, some histology. Here we have some tubes that are cut, and I can see some nice circular tubes right here. So take a look at this little marker. It's been cut, and if you see a nice circle, it's been cut in transverse section, so it looks like a nice circle. And we can look at the wall. All right, some you can see look a little elongated right here because this tube now has been cut more in a longitudinal section. So you can see along the length of the tube, so it looks oval, right, as opposed to circular. But nonetheless, we can see these cells. All right, here is Well, in this particular case, it's going to come from a ureter, and there's going to be urine in these tubes. So this space right here is what we call the lumen of the tube. So digestive tract has a lumen that digesting material goes through. The lumen of a blood vessel is the part of the blood vessel that blood flows through, right? That's the center part of the tube. It's usually acellular. All right, so when you look at these cells right here, they're about as wide as they are tall. What kind of cell is that by shape? That's a cuboidal. And here is the nice basement membrane that you see. All right, so your eye should be attracted to a basement membrane right away, and then count the number of layers that you see. And how would you characterize this particular epithelium by layers and shape? It's a simple cuboidal epithelium, and hopefully it's labeled just like that, right? And then this is the lumen. Outside, underneath this basement membrane, is just some connective tissue. Okay, so on the practicum, you might actually see this particular photograph, right? You have to recognize that epithelium, but of course on the practicum, these labels are going to be erased, and that might be one of the questions you have to answer, right? And in your study guide, you have these figures, but also your textbook is in. Your textbook has the key on how to label these things, right? Okay, the other thing about an epithelium is look at the epithelium right here. Do you see much of a space between the cells? Or look at this nice illustration right here. Is there space between these cells? They're tightly packed together. Epithelial cells are tightly packed together. There's not even room for a blood vessel between them. That's another important characteristic of epithelium. Okay, next kind of epithelium. Here is the basement membrane right here. All right, so this is the basal surface, here's the apical surface, here's the lumen of this particular tube. This would be a nice example of digestive system tube. And nice nucleus, but here is just one cell. So going from base to apex, what's the kind of epithelium by layers? It's simple, just a simple one. Now by shape, what is it? It's columnar. So here's a simple columnar epithelium. All right, pretty easy to see. Next one, a little bit more difficult. Okay, here is the basement membrane. Here is the free surface, so there's really nothing in here except for maybe air. In particular, this is coming from the trachea. That's a special kind of epithelium because it's designed to clean itself. Because when we inhale dust, it gets trapped in the trachea right here so it doesn't go down into the lungs. And even your nasal passages have these kinds of structures. These are cilia right here. What's the function of cilia? Motility, so they're sweeping, right? Okay, so here's the basement membrane. Here is the apical surface. Sometimes it looks like it's just one cell layer. Sometimes it looks like it's maybe even two layers thick. So it's hard to tell if this is simple or stratified, so we make up another term. We call it pseudostratified. But nonetheless, what is the shape of the cells up by the apical region? Columnar. So it's a columnar, it's pseudostratified columnar, and we also like to include ciliated epithelium, right? Pseudostratified columnar ciliated. In your notes, you could actually jot down ciliated. Most people would call that PSCC, right? Pseudostratified columnar ciliated epithelium, which kind of designates its function as well, sweeping, and those cilia are sweeping up, right, so that debris gets swept up into your mouth instead of packaged down in your lungs and fills your lungs up. There's one other feature of this epithelium that is all important that helps the cilia do its job in trapping and removing dust, and that is this cell right here. It kind of looks like a wine glass, right, or a flute for champagne or wine or something. That's called a goblet cell. Yeah, that's a goblet cell. And its job is to secrete mucus. So it is a secretory cell. It's a gland all by itself because it's secreting mucus. Here is the nucleus. And then all of this right here is mucus, which is getting dumped onto this apical surface. And that mucus traps a lot of dust as well, but it's what? It can be swept away with the action of the cilia. So you see a lot of goblet cells in lab. So you should know that that goblet cell secretes mucus and that it is a gland. And that it's the only example I know of a unicellular gland. Most glands are multicellular, have many cells, but this particular one is just a single cell. Okay, and where do you find it? What tissue? Epithelium, connective, muscle, or nervous tissue? It's in the epithelium, so again, that kind of underscores epithelium makes glands. Here's an example of our first gland right here, which is what? Just a very simple unicellular gland. Okay, next slide. Here is the basement membrane with connective tissue underneath it. And here's the basal part, the deep part of this epithelium. Here is the apical part, the superficial part. How many layers do you see? A lot. So you would say stratified. Okay, so let's just, I was almost going to say simplify. Ooh, that would have been a bad choice of words, right? Because it's stratified. But make it not complex when you look at these slides, okay? So many layers. And how do you name this epithelium? By the shape of the cells where? Down here or up here? Yeah, the superficial part. And these are the flat kind. So this is a stratified squamous epithelium. And you look at these slides in the very first lab. We harvested them with some toothpicks, put them on a slide, looked at them, and indeed they were nice flat cells, right? The cheek cells are buccal cells. So stratified squamous epithelium. All right, this one right here. I might have to zoom in just a little bit. Nice basement membrane, connective tissue underneath it. Here's the lumen of this tube. This is a duct for a salivary gland. And I see two nuclei from the basement membrane up to this apical surface. So is this a simple or stratified epithelium? Stratified. The width and the height of the cell is basically the same. So it is a cuboidal. It's a stratified cuboidal epithelium. And in lab for the practicum, you can abbreviate epithelium how? EPI. I lost my marker someplace around. Just EPI for epithelium. That's fine. Okay. All right. This one right here. I see connective tissue. I see a basement membrane right through here. And these cells, what's the shape of these cells right here? Columnar. So, and is it just one cell from base to apical region or more than one? More than one. So this is stratified columnar epithelium. That's how you recognize that. These kinds of epithelia, where they're bigger, thicker cells right here compared to a squamous cell, means that they can do more things. They can secrete things or they can absorb things. There's more room for machinery inside of them. So these kinds of epithelia are doing something in these particular tubes, while this kind of epithelium, stratified squamous, is designed to break off. It's designed to wear out. But that's okay, because as these cells slough off, these living cells down over here replace the ones that break away from the surface of your body or from the lining of your mouth. Okay? But they're just basically protecting deeper structures underneath the stratified squamous. Yeah, okay, so stratified columnar. This is one that's hard to classify by shape and by layers. So we don't talk about it by shape and layers, okay, because these cells in the apical region don't look really squamous. They don't look columnar. They don't look cuboidal. They look like pillows. And that's because these cells are shapeshifters. They can change shape. And there are a couple organs in your body that change shape, one in particular, the bladder. It doesn't stay the same size every day. What does it do? Gets bigger, right? And then when you void, gets smaller, right? And then the kidneys, when they're doing their job, and they got to be producing every second of your life, otherwise the kidney dies. If it's not producing urine, it's dead or it's going to die. So the bladder then fills up and it stretches. So these cells right here are stretchy. They can be short and pillow-like, or when the bladder fills up, they can get very squamous and long. Right, and then when you void, the cells kind of pucker up again and look like pillows, and then they slowly stretch out, okay, and then you void and they shrink down to these pillow shaped ones. So here is a nice basement membrane with connective tissue underneath it. Here is that free surface, and here's where you would have urine inside the urinary bladder, and we call this transitional epithelium. Not simple, not stratified, not columnar, not squamous. We just say transitional because it's what? Changing shape all the time. So it can't be classified very easily that way. Okay. Sorry, I went away, but I'll come back with my cursor. So those are the epithelia that you have to know something about. I don't think I'm too concerned about the function, at least on the practicum, of these different kind of epithelia, but you should at least be able to recognize epithelium by number of layers and the shape of those cells in the apical region. and know some characteristics of epithelium, like, well, not for the practicum, but for the lecture test. Covers the surface, lines the cavity. What about blood vessels? No, it's devoid of blood vessels. It's avascular. Okay. But some epithelia can make glands, and in particular, here is an example of a gland. Well, here's actually a really fancy colored micrograph of one of these unicellular glands right here. You would call that a goblet cell. Goblet cell secretes mucus, right? And mucus is a protein that has been modified by adding a sugar molecule to it. And you change the structure of that protein by adding a sugar molecule to it. You change the function, and it becomes what? Very sticky and kind of slippery. It's kind of funny to use those two words together to describe something. Usually it's one or the other, but it's slippery and sticky both all at the same time. Okay, here you can see all these little mucus particles, and it's secreted onto the apical surface. Mucus is a really tough kind of molecule. It's hard to destroy. So the lining of your stomach is what? Is an epithelium, right? Lines a cavity. A cavity inside your stomach has an epithelium on it. It's loaded with goblet cells that secrete mucus onto the stomach because the stomach is a really rough environment. It's like pH 1. It's very acidic. And that mucus protects your stomach from being dissolved by the enzymes and the hydrochloric acid that the stomach secretes. So mucus is not only a lubricant, but it protects various surfaces on your body as well. So here's a nice goblet cell, and here is an illustration of the same. Okay, you can see the mucus particles in there. So that is epithelium, and epithelium can make what? Glands. Here is how we classify various glands. Okay, it can be simple. Okay, and it can be either a straight tube like this, or it can form like a little berry down over here, right? So we would call that an alveolus. An alveolus is just like a little sac. And you can see this is like a simple, like, cuboidal kind of epithelium. In some glands, maybe like the prostate gland, in one region the cells kind of look cuboidal, in another region they kind of look columnar. And you just have to be aware, depending on where you look in a particular gland, the epithelium might change a little bit. So these are all straight tubes right here. This is a simple branch tube. This is a little bit more complex. It has a more complex branching pattern, so we call that a compound tubular gland because it's still just made up of straight tubes, not alveoli. All right, and then the alveolar kind, you can see it can be a simple branch or it could be a compound alveolar type of gland. And then some glands, like I said, right, in certain spots it could look tubular, in other spots it could look alveolar. So we can combine those terms. We can combine the tubular nature and the alveolar nature. We can take two words and put them together and still make sense, and it's still a real word as long as we do what with it in anatomy? Like abdominopelvic cavity. We put an O between them, right? So tubulo-alveolar gland has characteristics of both. All right, and I think this is an exam figure, right? So look at this one. Make sure you can label which kind of gland is which. Tubular is easy, but you got to remember something that looks like a grape or a berry is called an alveolus, right? Alveolar. Sometimes maybe it's called acinar as well, but alveolar is very, very common. Okay, who's got a question on epithelia? We didn't have a whole lot of epithelia, but some. Okay. Any questions on epithelia? Covering a surface, lining a cavity, just by shape and number of layers, not too bad. Just look for the basement membrane. Look for the superficial surface, count the number of layers, and on a practicum, just don't freak out because the information is right there. Take a deep breath and hopefully, you know, that information will come to you. We'll practice this today. We'll practice renaming some of these structures. All right, so that takes us to the next tissue, which is connective tissue. And connective tissue, like I said, connects different parts of your body together. Maybe it's a bone-to-bone connection, like ligament. Maybe it's a muscle-to-bone connection, like a tendon. Maybe it's a functional connection that blood allows, right, to connect various parts of your body together. And what I have on the screen right now is just a generalized illustration of a typical kind of connective tissue. Not every connective tissue will look like this. It won't have all of the components, but it might have some of these things. Okay. So when we look at epithelia, what could you tell me about the arrangements of cells in an epithelium? Were they packed close together, or were there spaces between the cells? Packed close together for epithelium, and that's going to be different for connective tissue. Let's look at this cell right here. So here's a cell, and the other cell that has the same kind of nature is where? Way up over here someplace. There's a big space between them, right? And that space contains all of these fibers, and it contains this substance right here. So in connective tissue, what makes connective tissue not necessarily are the cells in there, but the space between the cells is what is important. Namely, does it contain fibers? And this area right here that doesn't contain fibers, we call that ground substance. In this particular tissue, this ground substance contains a lot of water and sugar molecules, modified sugar molecules that hold a lot of water, and it's kind of like a sponge. All right. Look at these fibers. Here is a big, thick one. Here is one that's not so thick, and then here is one that's really thin. And not only do I want you to know the names of some of these cells, all right, I want you to know the names of some of the components that are in the space between cells. And you see the space between cells can be a little bit complicated. It's very special, so we give it a special name. We call it the matrix. So a matrix is the space between cells in what kind of tissue? Connective tissue. That's the important thing about connective tissue, is the matrix and all the junk that's put in the matrix. So in this one, we see fibers. Here is a collagen fiber. That's a big, thick, strong fiber, almost impossible to damage if you pull on it from end to end. It doesn't stretch. That's what tendons and ligaments are made out of. Those shouldn't stretch. Those should just connect those two organs together, okay, without stretching. Now, if you pull it from side to side, just like if you have a rope or a thread or something, you can pull the fibers apart and damage collagen that way if you pull it from side to side. Like if you use a joint inappropriately, right, like if you try to bend this finger sideways instead of anterior posteriorly, it's easy to damage tendons and ligaments because you're pulling from side to side instead of end to end, like how the joint should be used. All right, so here's a collagen fiber. It's secreted by these cells right here. The name of these cells that secrete fibers into the matrix are called fibroblasts. That's not too difficult to remember that. But these fibroblasts not only secrete collagen, but they secrete other kinds of fibers as well, depending on the particular kind of CT. And when I say CT, what do I mean? Connective tissue. You can use that abbreviation on the practicum in my class. All right, I don't know about other instructors, so if you have a friend in another class, don't give them the okay to abbreviate connective tissue CT, because it might not work, I'm not sure. But I hope you all know how to spell tissue and connective, right? That's the only reason why I would ask you that. All right, so other fibers. We have an intermediate size fiber right here. This one is pretty cool because it really doesn't resist tension to a large degree. You can actually stretch this one, right? It resists tension a little bit, but it's stretchy. And then when you let go, it goes back to its original location. So what would you call something like that? Elastic. So here's a nice elastic fiber. Like for instance, my ear right here, I can bend, and when I let go, what's it going to do? It's going to snap back into its original location. There's got to be, what, elastic fibers in there that stretch, but then pull things back together again. All right, these can be damaged a little bit more easily than these collagen fibers because they're weaker, but as long as you don't overdo it, right, as long as I don't all day long move my ear and crush it and bend it, all right, it's going to go back to the way it was. But eventually, right, that ear would give out and it would just scar up. These cells would start producing collagen to help fight that trauma that I'm producing on the ear. And then what would the shape of the ear turn into? What do you call that? That would be a cauliflower ear then. And then you have more collagen in there instead of elastic tissue. So that's why you don't see me walking around pounding my ear, okay, because I don't want that cauliflower ear. The weakest kind of fiber is this thin one. That's called a reticular fiber. It just barely holds organs together, but produces a little bit of a, I'll use this term, matrix to hold cells together. Can be easily damaged. And I'll show you a gland that is easily damaged, and actually it's impossible to repair because This fiber right here is just so delicate, you can't even put a suture in that particular organ without even ripping more reticular fibers. Okay, and unlike epithelia, here is a blood vessel, right? And you can probably see a nerve in there. I don't see a nerve. All right, so the major kind of cell we see in this particular kind of tissue is a fibroblast. You might see some adipocytes. You might see some immune cells in there, okay? But mostly fibroblasts. So how about if we start to look at some real connective tissues, pictures through a microscope, okay, and see if we can characterize them. All right, so it's not going to be by layers. It's just going to be by what we see mostly where? In the matrix, the space between the cells. All right, so here's a good place to start. When I look at this, I see some different colors in there. There might be adipocytes in some of this kind of tissue, which will give it a yellow color. All right, it's going to be stained blue. It's going to have all these nice sharp angles in there. I see a stained glass window when I look at this, okay? It's easy for me to recognize. Maybe if you see it as a stained glass window, it'll be easy for you as well. That's called areolar connective tissue. It's not a very strong connective tissue. It has some collagen. Here is some collagen, but the orientation of collagen is in all different directions. It can withstand a little bit of force in all directions, but not a lot of force in one direction. Right? It does have some elastic fibers, which means it's a little stretchy, and then it can go back. All right? And it has a lot of ground substance. Right? It's highly hydrated material right here. And these cells that secrete fibers into the matrix are called fibroblasts. Those are fibroblasts in areolar connective tissue. And you might see some fat cells in there too, depending, but not on this particular slide. So I see collagen fibers, elastic fibers, some ground substance, okay? And you should know the names of these cells. Those are fibroblasts. All right, and you see that pattern, stained glass window? That is areolar connective tissue. Okay, I'm going to come back to that one. What do I want to show you next? Probably, I want to show you I want to show you this one. Okay. All right, so how do you know this is not an epithelium? Here's a cell. Here's another cell way down over here. Separated by a big space. The space between them is called the matrix. Now, I see a lot of fibers in this particular matrix, and all the fibers are all pointing, all lined up in the same direction. There's a little bit of a wave because we didn't pull this tissue tight when we fixed it on the microscope slide, but all of these fibers and nice parallel sheets are all pointing in the same direction. And those fibers are the big, thick ones. Those are collagen fibers. So this kind of tissue can withstand a tremendous amount of force if you pull on it from end to end. And so this is a really good kind of tissue to use for tendons and ligaments. Here's a muscle, here's a bone, it's connected together by that tendon right there. All right, so a lot of the strongest kind of fiber, all oriented in the same direction, cannot withstand force if we were to pull on it from top to bottom, right, sideways, that would damage that tendon. It would split it apart. But from end to end, it is super, super strong. All right, probably the tendon would pull off the bone before the tendon gets damaged itself, okay, if it's pulled from end to end. So here we got those fibroblasts, and what kind of, in terms of strength, characterize collagen for me. Is it strong, weak, or intermediate? Strong. It's the strongest. Which is the weakest? Reticular, and which is the intermediate one? Elastic, but don't forget that's also stretchy a little bit. All right, so we call this dense regular connective tissue because it's very densely packaged with collagen, and regular because the collagen is all pointed in the same direction. On this slide, it's all just right and left. Right? Here's another kind of dense connective tissue. Here we see fibroblasts again, a lot of collagen, but in this particular example, the collagen isn't oriented all right and left. Sometimes it's a little bit right and left in here. Sometimes it goes up and down, and sometimes it goes even in and out of the plane of the image. So collagen is oriented in all directions. So it can withstand tension pretty well in all directions, but it's not as strong as a tendon in one direction. And so this is what's used to make joint capsules to protect the integrity of joints. which can be forced in all kinds of different directions, and it has to be a pretty strong material. So we call this dense irregular as opposed to dense regular connective tissue. Okay, so that's for tendons and ligaments. Okay, another kind of connective tissue, let me just go really close to this one right here. Sorry about flicking all those past your eyes. This right here, would, if I were to walk in a classroom and see this, I would not think I was in a human physiology or anatomy class. I would think I was in what kind of class? Yeah, I would think maybe I was in a botany class. Because what I see when I look at this is like a trunk of a tree that's been cut transversely, and I see tree rings. So what you see on this one right here are rings, rings around rings around rings. And what these are really are tubes, right, that have been cut in a transverse section, and you're just looking at rings of this particular tube. And bones are made out of tubes, inside more tubes. And tubes are really almost impossible to compress. That's the basic nature of a tube, right? Can't compress. And a bone, you don't want to compress either when you use it. So it's made out of tubes. Those tubes are what we call lamellae. All right, so we see tubes with inside tubes with inside tubes. So that's very characteristic of bone. Now, what is bone? Epithelium, muscle tissue, or nervous tissue, or what? It's a connective tissue, right? So make sure on your practicum you say bone CT. Don't say bone epithelium or something like that. Okay. In the very center, right, here's a central canal. There is an artery and a vein and nerves in there as well. Okay, so when you break a bone, guess what also happens? You hemorrhage. It bleeds because all those blood vessels are there, and it can bleed so much that it could actually be fatal, right, if you're not treated properly. If it's a big bone like a humerus right here or hip bone or femur or something, you could bleed to death. So that's a drawback of having blood vessels in this particular connective tissue. But on the other hand, it's very beneficial. There's an upside to having bone highly vascularized. And that is, can you think of a good reason why it's good to have blood supply to any organ? Why do you have blood supply to any organ? To deliver oxygen and nutrients to keep it alive. So bone has living cells in it. So bone can actually rebuild itself and heal itself within 4 to 5 weeks. So it can recuperate. It can rejuvenate very quickly because it has, what, a large vascular supply. Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Each one of these things, when we get to bone, we're going to see they're called osteons. Each one of these osteons has their own blood supply, and they come together to form a bigger artery and a bigger artery and a bigger artery. When somebody has a vascular necrosis of a bone, some blood vessel got damaged somewhere in their life, and sometimes an individual doesn't do anything to deserve it. Okay, sometimes some bones get cut off from their blood supply. That usually happens with a really big, strong bone, which is kind of funny. Usually you think big, strong bones are the ones to have. But sometimes it's a natural process in some people, and then the bone dissolves away when it runs out of oxygen and nutrients. That's really kind of sad when that happens. All right, but that kind of underscores another thing, and that is bone is a living tissue. There's a lot of calcium in the matrix, but here is where the living cell is. Here is a little hole in the bone matrix, the calcium matrix. We call that a lacunae, and there's a special cell in there called an osteocyte. Cyte means cell. Osteo means bone, right? So bone cell. That bone cell maintains the calcium and phosphate and the other organic materials that make bone up to keep it healthy. And if you look at that pillar right there, it kind of looks like a bone. It looks like a part of the skeleton holding up the building. But you know how long that has been there without change, that concrete pillar right there? Since whenever they built the building. They never had to rebuild it. But in you, guess what? Since your bones are alive, guess what your bones are doing? They get replaced every 5 years. Right, so every 5 years you have a completely new skeleton. It's a living tissue, not like these pillars that we have in the building. And if these cells can't get oxygen and nutrients, they die, and your skeleton just kind of dissolves away as a result of that. Right, so That is kind of important. I'll talk more about necrosis when we get to the skeletal system in particular, but I can't get off on too many tangents because we'll not cover everything we need to cover today. So if you look at this slide, is it easy to see it's bone? Because why? You see what? Circles inside circles inside circles, or better yet, lamellae inside lamellae. And lamellae are what? Really tubes that make the bone structure up. And these little spots inside the bone that house the cells, those are called lacunae. And lacunae is like a little pit or a lagoon that a cell is actually living in. And then there's little, you can see the little tiny connections between each of these cells and the vascular supply right here. Okay, but I want you to be able to at least recognize those, this particular tissue. Okay, here's a tissue that's kind of like bone. And I see lacunae. Now this is much higher magnification. That's almost 1,000 times. This is 720 times. Here is a little pit or lagoon or lacunae in the matrix. And inside that little pit, we can actually see the cell that lives there. And this is a chondrocyte. So in bone, there are osteocytes because osteo means bone. In this particular tissue, we call this a chondrocyte. And what chondro means, and you should think anytime you hear that word chondro, that means cartilage. Chondro and cartilage are synonyms of each other. So this is what cartilage looks like. Do you see any circles? Do you see any lamellae, rings inside rings? No. I just see a random pattern, right? So areolar, I see a stained glass window. For bone, I see like tree rings. For cartilage, I just see a speckle pattern, just a random pattern of lacunae with chondrocytes inside of it. This particular kind of cartilage, okay, if you look in the matrix right here, so you know this is a connective tissue because of a matrix, it's not an epithelium. Do you see any fibers?
No.
It's kind of homogeneous and uniform. Everything that's in this ground substance right here is soluble in water. There are sugar proteins. There might be some collagen, very, very thin, but it's soluble in the matrix, so we don't see a fiber. This is what we call hyaline cartilage. It covers the tips of bones. So sometimes we call it articular cartilage because articulation in a joint is the same thing. And it protects the ends of bones so that when bones move against each other, they don't grind each other down, because a bone is like a rock. If you had a rock rubbing on a rock, they would just grind each other down. Ooh, what do you call that? When bones grind each other down because that cartilage right there is gone. You all know. Okay, that's called arthritis. Okay, when that cartilage is destroyed and bones are just rubbing on bone, ooh, that's a really irritating process, right? Arthritis, when that happens. When you lose hyaline cartilage, it also makes up some costal cartilages right here because your rib cage has to bend very nice and easily. Okay, we also find cartilage like this in the trachea as well. It has hyaline cartilage in it, various places. Here is another kind of cartilage. I see lacunae with a chondrocyte inside of it. But now, do you see fibers? Absolutely, there's fibers. This kind of cartilage is a little bit stronger. This kind of cartilage has elastic fibers, which means that it can stretch and it can bend a little bit, and when that tension is released, this particular piece of your body will go back to its original shape and location. Like your ear, your nose, for instance, elastic cartilage. Okay. Because of these elastic fibers, and you can see these are elastic fibers because they're pretty highly branched. They go in all kinds of different directions. That's an elastic fiber. The last kind of cartilage is this one right here. I know this is not an epithelium because there's big spaces between the cells. I see little holes or bubbles that have cells in them. Those little holes or bubbles or pits are lacunae, just like we have in bone and the other kinds of cartilage. There's a little cell. But now, do I see fibers? Absolutely. These are strong fibers, much more prominent. They're all oriented in one direction. These are collagen fibers. So in terms of cartilage, the strength of cartilage, guess which one is the strongest? The one that has collagen, which is this one, which is called fibrocartilage. Fibrocartilage is used in intervertebral discs because these parts of your vertebrae are trying to crush each other, they're holding up your body weight. That cartilage is really strong and most circumstances can withstand that kind of force. But every once in a while somebody does something funny with their back and it can damage that cartilage right there, and then you have a bulging disc, which is pretty painful. Right? It damages the fibrocartilage. right there. So all these tissues can be damaged to some degree. All right, so those are the three kinds of cartilage. And the next kind of connective tissue is this right here. Yeah, how do you know that's a connective tissue, not epithelium? Cells are separated by matrix. So here's the matrix right here. Do you see any fibers in there? No. It has some fibers, but they're highly soluble. And they stay that way until certain things happen. Like if you cut yourself, all right, blood is going to start to flow out of your body because this is what, a liquid connective tissue. It's a fluid connective tissue. And then those soluble fibers come out of solution and form a network. We call that a blood clot. Okay, but in most circumstances, you don't want blood clots, right, or insoluble proteins in blood because you want it to flow all over the place. Now, you do have to know the names of these cells. These are not fibroblasts. They're not osteocytes. They're not chondroblasts, right? These are blood cells. You got different kinds. These right here we call red blood cells. They don't have any organelles in them. That's why they die really fast. They only live for 120 days. They can't repair themselves. They're loaded with a chemical compound called hemoglobin, which does what? I don't expect anybody to know, but I thought I'd ask. Yeah, they carry oxygen. Hemoglobin carries oxygen everywhere in your body. These red blood cells are packed with them. I forget how many molecules. Millions of molecules of hemoglobin in there, carrying oxygen. All right, so these are red blood cells. These have been stained to look blue or purple or pink or whatever color they are. I have no idea what color they are, okay? But they're called white blood cells because unstained, they kind of look creamy colored or milky colored. So they're white blood cells. Here is a lymphocyte. This one right here gives you long-lasting immunity. These help. Actually, these are the ones that work when you get an immunization, like a flu shot or something, to help protect you forever from the flu, at least that one strain of the flu. This is called a lymphocyte. Notice that the nucleus takes up almost the whole cell. There's hardly any room for cytoplasm in this particular cell. And the nucleus is nice and round and smooth. It's just a big spherical nucleus inside the lymphocyte. This one over here is what we call a neutrophil. And notice that it has much more cytoplasm and that the nucleus has this really weird shape. It's not spherical. It's not oblong, right? It's not oval. It has many lobes to it. That's a nice characteristic of a neutrophil. Those you can see underneath the microscope and surely distinguish them from these lymphocytes right here. So this picture could possibly be on the practicum. So a question might be, name that tissue. What would you say? Blood CT. Don't say blood muscle or blood nervous tissue or blood epithelium because it's not. It's a connective tissue, right? So always say the specific name of the tissue and then the general part that it belongs to, like CT, for instance. And it's kind of a cool connective tissue because the matrix is fluid, so it can flow from one part of your body to the other. Okay, so it can carry signaling molecules or nutrients or oxygen or even waste products like CO2. All right, so blood is kind of an atypical connective tissue. All right, let me show you another kind of atypical connective tissue that we have right here. All right, so here is a cell. Here's another cell. Now, this sort of looks like an epithelium. Why? The cells are touching each other, okay? There's not an extensive matrix. But this is adipose connective tissue. What is important for adipose connective tissue is not what's outside the cell, but inside the cell, this big vesicle or vacuole right here is storing fat, all right? Or you could say adipose, fat or adipose. So here is an adipocyte right here. And what's the beauty of adipose, of fat? It's an energy store, right? So you have these guys, you can go weeks and weeks and weeks without eating. You still need to drink water, of course, but there's a high amount of energy in these adipocytes that you can live off of, that can power your body. So this fat can be metabolized by a certain organelle inside most cells to produce ATP. What is that? What's that organelle? Mitochondria can break down fat, right, into CO2 that we breathe out of our body and ATP, yeah. Adipose and lipid are exactly the same. Yeah. Yeah. And if I would prefer that you use adipose as opposed to fat. Adipose is more scientific, okay? More clinical than fat. So here's an adipocyte. This is adipose tissue. You could say fat tissue. Everybody would know what you're talking about, but doesn't sound as good. Okay. Sign-in sheet is going around, right? Who knows where the sign-in sheet is? It's all the way in the back. Fantastic. Make sure I get it after class, okay? And make sure everybody signs it in here so I don't drop you by accident. All right, so those are all connective tissues. There's only one that I didn't show you, I think, and it's this one right here. It has a lot of elastic fibers in it. It's not magnified very much. It's only 85 power, so it's kind of hard to see the fibroblasts in here. But it has a lot of elastic fibers, and where we find this is in large arteries, like right above the heart. When the heart contracts, it pumps a lot of blood all of a sudden into the aorta, and the aorta then expands, because that's what elastic tissues, fibers can do. And then when the heart relaxes to fill back up with blood, guess what the aorta does? It goes back to its original shape, and then when it does that, it helps pump blood through your circulatory system, all right? Okay, so this is elastic fiber. I want to show you three more slides. We're done with connective tissue, and we're going to move on to the next class of tissues. Okay, because I'm trying to get to one last exercise, and that's muscle tissue. What's muscle tissue specialized to do? To shorten or contract, either one. And certain things connect to either end of a muscle, and when a muscle contracts, like if it's connected to a bone on one side, a bone on the other side, what happens to those two bones when that muscle contracts? They get pulled together, right? And it's usually through some kind of joint or fulcrum so that, or articulation so that you can move your body. Okay. So here is a micrograph of muscle. So what strikes you when you see this picture right here? You see stripes all over the place, right? We call those striations. Skeletal muscle has some internal machinery so that it can shorten, and it repeats itself over and over and over and over and over again thousands of times, and it produces these striations. All right, so that's a nice characteristic of skeletal muscle. We call that skeletal muscle because it connects to bones, and your bones make up your skeleton. And so we call it skeletal muscle, just like that. And guess what? You have voluntary control over when that muscles contract, right? Because you can control your skeleton. And you'll see in this class and in physiology that that's really the only part of your body that you have voluntary control of. Everything else takes care of itself through the autonomic nervous system, which is kind of strange to think that that's the only thing you really have control of in your body is skeletal muscle. Skeletal muscles are long and narrow. They're just cylinders, really, really long. We can't even show it on one slide how long it is. It's not branched. All right, so sometimes because they're long and narrow, we call a muscle cell, skeletal muscle cell, a fiber. A muscle fiber and a muscle cell are exactly the same kind of thing. It's voluntary control. Let's look at another kind of muscle right here. Do you see any stripes? Yeah, it has striations. But now, these cells are not long and narrow, they're short. Here's the beginning of one cell, here's the other end. They're really short, right? And so here's the beginning of another cell. And when these cells contract, the neighboring cells have to be attached to each other so they don't pull apart. It's got a special structure right here called an intercalated disc that goes across the length of the cell, or the diameter of the cell. We call that an intercalated disc. The other difference is that notice that it branches. Cardiac muscle cells are branched. Skeletal muscle are long and linear. All right? Skeletal muscles are under voluntary control. What about cardiac muscle? Can you control cardiac muscle? Nope. I can relax that biceps for the next 5 weeks if I wanted to and not have it contract. But what about the heart? Can't do that, right? You might be able to adjust the rate a little bit up and down, but you can't cause your heart to contract or relax on command like you can with skeletal muscle. All right, but I can say right now, let's put all your books away. I've got a pop quiz for you right here. Okay, so get out your calculators, right? And we'll take the quiz right now. Now, what about your heart rate? It probably went up. All right, so you can't control your heart, but ha-ha, I can. Okay? You can do the same thing if you play tricks on yourself, but it's not really voluntary control, right? That happened automatically. You couldn't control your heart rate probably unless you really knew I was playing a trick on you, okay? So cardiac muscle, striated, involuntary, branched. Skeletal muscle, long and linear, not branched, but it still has striations in it. The last kind of muscle is this one right here. Do you see striations? No. It has a different kind of machinery inside the cell to cause contraction. These cells are short, but they're not branched. And they kind of look like a football. And if you take the ends of a football and stretch it out, that's what these cells look like. They have two pointy ends, as you can see with this illustration right here. These are smooth muscle cells. It's not striated. But like cardiac muscle, it's involuntary. You can't control it. It's in glands, it's in visceral organs that are deep inside your body, like the digestive system, urinary system, reproductive system. Blood vessels have this kind of muscle right here. So this is smooth muscle. All right, so those are the three kinds. All right. So what's the best way to prepare for the practicum? Because I won't see you guys, some of you, before you actually take a practicum. And I want to help you prepare for that. I made a video of this. The link right now is broken, but I'll fix the link for you really soon. All the links in my website, Dr. J. Gober, are broken. I have to re-link everything up maybe over the weekend. All right, but this is going to be basically part of your practicum. I don't have pictures of a microscope right here, but these are the histology slides. Okay, so don't make too much noise because this is going to really help or sink some of you if you can't recognize some of these slides. So let's pay close attention. So what do you see on this slide?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, so you guys hush up back there. All right, so what do you see here? Do you see a tissue? No, you should see mitosis. You see chromosomes. And how are they arranged? They're condensed right in the equator of the cell, so that's metaphase of mitosis, right? Nice spindle apparatus. And then what do you see? Nothing. Okay. And then here, I see a tissue. Epithelium?
No.
No, it's connective tissue because I see a matrix. I see lacunae with a chondrocyte. What kind of tissue? It's called hyaline cartilage CT, hyaline cartilage CT, no fibers, all right? Now with anatomy, the trick to learning anatomy is repetition, just to look at it over and over again. So that's my plan. All right, here I see a number of cells. So this is a phase of the cell cycle. I don't see chromosomes. I don't see spindle apparatus anywhere. This is a growth phase called interphase. So all these cells are in interphase and then nothing. And then we have the daughter chromosomes are separating, anaphase, right? You see that? If not, you could go back and look in your textbook. All these pictures are in your textbook, right? Okay, except this one is not in there. I don't know why not. That's the best one. What's that? Bone CT. What do we got right here? Epithelium, simple cuboidal epithelium, right? Make sure you know this is like connective tissue, basement membrane. Make sure you can label these lead lines for the practicum. And then here, what's that? Ooh, I won't even show you that. Blood CT, and you can name those cells, right? And then you got nothing. Basement membrane, apical surface with cilia, nice columnar cell, goblet cells. That's a pseudostratified ciliated columnar epi. And then here's the basement membrane. How many layers? Many. Stratified, what's the shape here? Squamous. Stratified squamous epithelium. No blood vessels. Cells are packed close together. You know it's an epithelium. Okay. Basement membrane, apical surface. Here's the lumen of the tube. This is a stratified cuboidal. Stratified cuboidal epithelium. All right. Might not be making a lot of sense because some of you have only seen this like for the first time. Basement membrane, pillows. Transitional epi. Transitional epi. And then areolar CT, and make sure you can name these fibers and these cells, fibroblasts. Adipose CT, CT. Wow, is that the end of the lecture? Early prophase. Yeah, you can just say prophase. Fibroblasts, dense, irregular CT. Reticular CT, small, dainty reticular. Oh, I didn't show you that one yet, did I? Ah, okay. Well, at least a video will be online. Okay, because I want to say something about this to the whole class. There is one organ that is put together with reticular fibers. And what's the strength of a reticular fiber compared to collagen? Anelastic. Very, very weak. There's one organ in your body that cannot withstand a lot of trauma because it only has reticular fibers, and that is the spleen. And we're actually looking at a part of the spleen right here. These reticular fibers are so thin and weak that when the spleen gets damaged, you can't even place a suture in it to stop the bleeding and to let the organ start to grow back together again. Just the process of putting a suture will rip these reticular fibers and cause more bleeding. So the only thing you can do is tie off the blood vessel, remove that damaged part of the spleen, and hopefully the surgeon will spare as much spleen as possible for you, but they can actually remove the whole thing if it's bleeding. And that's because why? It only has reticular fibers, which are the weakest kind. Okay, I want to show you just a couple more. Stratified columnar epithelium. All right, we're going to do this again Monday. This is the old picture for smooth muscle. Here is what? Simple columnar epithelium. And then this is dense regular CT. And then this is skin, which we haven't talked about yet. Ah, but what about this one? Cardiac muscle, striations and branched. Telophase with cytokinesis. And, it's cartilage. I see chondrocytes and lacunae, but big fibers, so that's fibrocartilage, CT. And then, skeletal muscle. Some more skin, which we're not worried about right now. Chondrocytes and lacunae with elastic fibers. Elastic cartilage, CT. And then anaphase. These chromosomes just have a random orientation everywhere inside the nucleus. All right, and let me just do a couple more really fast. Oh, what's that? Metaphase. What's that? Hyaline cartilage. Interphase. Anaphase. Close, you're close. And here is, I showed it for a way too long period of time. That's bone. All right, so if you were looking at some of these slides for less than a second during the practicum, you're going to have a minute or a minute and a half, and you might get bored out of your mind. All right, so if you practice this, you should do well on the practicum. Yeah.